And now as we continue with our studies in the Epistle to the Ephesians and seeking to learn some lessons from the church at Ephesus, we are dealing today with the closing part of chapter 4. The Epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 4, I'll commence the reading at verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bow our hearts before Thee, acknowledging Thee again as the giver of every good and every perfect gift, for Thou art the eternal God. We've been reading again from Thy precious Word, and we do ask that by Thy Holy Spirit Thou shalt illumine all our hearts and minds even now with these great truths, that we may be able to put into practice these things that are taught in the Holy Scriptures. May Thy blessing rest upon each listener now, for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, the lesson that is before us today, we might well term the Christian's personal responsibility. Now, if the truth concerning the calling of the believer has been properly learned, we should now be prepared for teaching that insists that the Christian should demonstrate in life a conduct which is consistent with his high calling. The Christian has a past, a present, and a future. And our present manner of life should not be governed by the past, but should be lived and controlled in anticipation of the future. Now, having referred again to the Christian's calling, I remind you that it is a high calling. It's also a heavenly calling. Consider, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, your apostle and high priest, says the writer to the Hebrews. We are called then with a heavenly calling. We are called with a high calling. We are called with a holy calling. And if we have learned the truth concerning the calling of the believer, again it should impress us with this, that our manner of life now should demonstrate what we are and what we anticipate in the future. Now, in these verses that I have read to you, you'll discover this, that from verse 17 through verse 24, you have contrasted principles of life. On the one side, we have the old negatives. Over against that, we have the contrast with the new positives. Now, in this portion, there are parallel processes in which the old must be marked by renunciation and the new by appropriation. Then when you come to verse 25, from there to the end of the chapter, we have contrasted practices in living. Now, let us look then at the contrasted principles of life, verses 17 through 24. First of all, in verse 17, there is presented to us in the past this old negative that we were simply aimlessly drifting along. That is, prior to conversion, you had no purpose whatever in life. There is the situation of the man or the woman that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior. Someone who has never trusted God. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. They are aimlessly drifting along, being governed by vanity, the vanity of their own thoughts. They've got no definite purpose in life. Now, it's something that we often ask the young folks. You sometimes ask children this, or when they get older and they are teenagers, you say to them, now, what do you expect to be in life? Now, it's an amazing thing what little children will tell you what they would hope to be when they grow up. But when you come to the teenagers and you ask them, you expect something of an intelligent answer from them. And yet I discover that a great number of them have no aim in life. Now, if you never aim at anything, you can rest assured you'll never strike the target. You must at least have a good aim if you intend striking anything. But simply to drift along aimlessly, like a drifting vessel on a stormy ocean, you're sure to go to destruction. Now, we ought to have some purpose in life. But according to verse 17, prior to conversion, the Christians were just walking through life. That is, their manner of life was just the same as other Gentiles, walking in the vanity of their own mind. Now that's the past. That's the old negative. Over against that, we have the new positive. That's found in verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. We have a new direction. If the Lord has said, follow me and I will make you. He said that to his disciples. Follow me, I will make you to become fishers of men. He said to one of his disciples one day who asked him a question, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now, if you're following the Lord and He's leading the way, you have a new direction. You are not simply drifting along aimlessly, not knowing where you're going and not knowing what you want. But now you have a new direction in life. According to verse 20, ye have learned Christ. Now, if you have been learning Christ, you are one of His disciples. You have a direction in life, and you're learning at His feet, and you're following Him. Now again, look at one of the old negatives as set forth in verse 18. Here we have the picture of mental darkness. There has been the rejection of the light, and where the light is rejected, then we walk in darkness. And since we have rejected the light in unconverted days, of course, it results in judicial blindness, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. So that there is, first of all in this verse, mental darkness. Because there has been the rejection of the light. That's the past. That's one of the old negatives. Now, over and against that, in verse 21, we have a new discernment. Now, a man groping around in life, in mental darkness and judicial blindness, he's got no discernment. He doesn't understand distances. He doesn't understand the beauties of color and so on. He's in darkness. But now when we come to verse 21, there's a change. Here we have a new discernment. If so be that ye have heard him. If we have heard him, then not only have we been learning according to verse 20 and getting our direction, but we're listening to his voice in verse 21, and because we listen to his voice, we have a new discernment, and thus learning the lessons that Christ can teach, learning the lessons he has taught, learning the lessons that he can teach to us. This gives us discernment. Oh, what a contrast between a man groping around in darkness, not knowing where to go, and a man walking in the light, following Christ, listening to his voice, and having discernment. This is the Christian's walk, or at least it should be. Then look again at another old negative in that same verse, verse 18. The first part of the verse said, having the understanding darkened. But now it says, being alienated from the life of God. If we're alienated from the life, then there is spiritual death, alienated from the life of God. And without that life of God, we're walking around in spiritual death. That's exactly what he taught us in chapter 2, that you have he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. See, the old negative was this. Prior to conversion, we were alienated from the life of God, living in a state of spiritual death. But now there's been a change. There's a new dynamic in verse 21. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Here is the new dynamic. He is both the truth and the life. You remember he said, I am the way, the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, if we have turned to him, we have followed him with our feet, we have been listening to his voice with our ears, we discover that he is both the truth and the life, and in him we have eternal life. What a contrast to spiritual death. Here now we have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God, and having this new life in the Spirit, we have a new dynamic in life. So the old negative was spiritual death, but the new positive is the new dynamic of eternal life. Then let us look at verse 19 for another old negative. Who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Here we have moral degeneracy. It's a shameless insensibility to all moral and spiritual standards. Now, the days in which we live, we discover that not only are men shameless with regards to morality, but they seem to be priding themselves and boasting themselves in their immorality. That is the state of the unconverted man. That's the old negative. That's what we were, apart from the grace of God. in a state of moral degeneracy. It was a shameless insensibility to all moral and spiritual standards. But now in verse 24, there's a new kind of deportment. That is a new kind of manner of life. Our conduct toward others will now be marked by righteousness. Verse 24 says, and that ye put on the new man. See, in verse 22, we have to put something off. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. But in verse 24, that ye put on the new man. And then in verse 25, wherefore putting away. So there's the putting off, there's the putting on, and putting away. Now, it seems to me that that which pertained to the old life was like an old, dirty, muddy, grimy garment. Something that you would be ashamed of. And so therefore he says, that old, grimy, sinful, dirty coat, put it away. Put away all those shameless things. Put them away. And then, put on something else. This to be a new deportment. And our conduct towards others will now be marked by that righteousness. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now let us look at another of these old negatives, still in verse 19. The first part says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. The second part of the verse says, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Here is physical depravity, making lewdness the very business of their lives. Uncleanness with greediness. They're prepared to indulge in those lewd practices in order to make money. Now, over against that, in verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So therefore, in verse 24, the second part, we have another new positive. It's a new design. It's now holiness over against the old sinfulness or lewdness. It's now holiness unto the Lord. And this is the standard for all Christian actions. Now, to sum up these things, look at them now. You have the old negatives. This is what we were by nature prior to conversion. This is where the unregenerate, unconverted sinner stands today. Aimless drifting in life. Mental darkness, not being able to discern. Spiritual death, death in trespasses and sins. Moral degeneracy. Shameless insensibility to all moral and spiritual standards, physical depravity making lewdness the very business of their lives. But all the Christian puts off these things, and he puts on the new coat of righteousness, and he puts away the other things. Now watch. We have a new direction, that's a positive in life. We're learning at his feet. We have a new discernment, we're listening to his voice and learning the lessons. We have a new dynamic, we have eternal life and we know that Jesus Christ is the truth and the life. We have a new deportment, our conduct toward others will now be marked by righteousness. We have a new design, holiness unto the Lord is the standard for all Christian actions. But now look at verses 25 through 32. Having laid a solid concrete foundation of truth, the apostle now builds a superstructure of moral conduct in keeping with the nature of the foundation. Now notice there's about seven things here, and there are seven contrasts. Each one gives way to the other. Number one, there is lying. Wherefore putting away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. See, lying here gives way to truthfulness. Lying. Put away every form of dishonesty, again, as if it were a filthy garment, something that we would abhor. Put it away. And put on something else, truthfulness. Sound speech is becoming and is expected amongst Christians. No man should ever tell lies, but especially a Christian. Telling of lies should be far from the very thoughts of Christians. Lying is to be put away like a filthy garment, and has got to give way to truthfulness. But now, Luke again, he says, verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Anger and wrath. Now, one has said we should keep short accounts with God. Don't carry a revengeful spirit into the next day. If there has been an expression of anger or wrath, get it put right before the sun sets that day. Anger and wrath should give way to self-control. Give no occasion for the devil to accuse. So keep the door locked against him and keep him out. A lot of the world's troubles today have arisen because of the lack of self-control with men in high places. And because they are given to anger and wrath, and they express themselves in such ways that the reaction is similar from the other side. But where there is self-control, it can often prevent further trouble. When it comes to the Christian then, he tells us very frankly here, be ye angry and sin not. There may be some things for which you feel a holy anger. You feel angry at some things that happen, but be ye angry and sin not. Don't let it carry you on into wrath. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Wrath should not be known with the Christian. Neither give place to the devil. Don't let him in. Shut the door of your mind and the door of your heart and the door of your life against him. And then he moves on here to stealing. Let him that stole, steal no more. Stealing gives way to working and sharing. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So stealing gives way to working and sharing. Stealing in any and every form is prohibited to the Christian. But working and sharing, here is a new motive for honest work that we may share with others. Most of us have gone to work from time to time in order to get for ourselves. But here's a higher standard for the Christian. If he gets anything from his labor, he may be able to share it with others. Then he comes to deal with corrupt communications. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Corrupt communications must give way to constructive conversation. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Corrupt communications. That which is frivolous and empty is of no value. That should give way to constructive conversation. The speech or conversation among Christians should be edifying, should be building up. And then again, bitterness and wrath must give way to kindness. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. See, he's the Holy Spirit. Whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. See, bitterness and wrath gives way to kindness. Anger and clamor gives way to tender-heartedness. Evil speaking and malice gives way to forgiveness. And see how he finishes up, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, my friend, here is the Christian's personal responsibility. Oh, what standards are set up for the walk or the manner of life of the man or the woman that professes to know Jesus Christ as Savior.